Okay. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our analyst presentation. I know we've been talking to you a lot over the past year, so nothing should be too much of a surprise. I think if we look at our business overall, I think this has been a very, very tough environment. I think we all know that the financial system was on the brink around about September, October, and I think that we're quite pleased with the way we've come through with our business model intact and well-positioned for a turn in the markets when it comes. So for us, we have continued a very disciplined approach of management across the business to build our capital base, maintain liquidity, and maintain our operational efficiency. I think that's enabled us to maintain profitability at a reasonable level throughout the period and emerge with our capacity to compete, our brand, and our entrepreneurial spirit unimpeded. So for us, we are quite proud with the way we've come through this, which is probably the most difficult period for the financial sector in our lifetimes, and hopefully we don't see it again. Hopefully my grandchild doesn't see it again. I think if we look at the operating environment, we've seen a collapse in equity markets. We've seen interest rates fall quite dramatically. This chart doesn't really show it effectively, but they have come down dramatically. We've seen very volatile exchange rates. A substantial weakening of sterling over the last while, with a bit of recovery more recently. But the environment has to, use the word extreme. I don't like using it, but it has been extreme, and it has been very volatile, and it has been very tough. But obviously, out of that always comes a lot of opportunity. I think what we've tried to do as an organization is keep our heads down and continue to build our recurring revenue and to ensure that we have a sustainable earnings base. I think in this period, our sustainable earnings improved from 65% to recurring income to 70% as other types of activities quietened down, which is natural in a very tough economic environment. But certainly, we're quite pleased with what has happened to our sustainable earnings. I think, again, our diversified business model has worked for us. I think some areas could have benefited from the environment, other areas suffered from the environment, and overall, you can see the mix of our revenue did change quite significantly in this particular period because of the type of environment we were dealing with. I think that overall, it resulted in an operating profit across all three geographies. South Africa, as we said, the trading update would be down less than 10% in rand. That translated to down 13% in pounds to £293 million. The UK was down 26% in pounds, which is exactly what we said. We said Australia was down a lot, being a low-scale business and suffering from the environment more than the others. But overall, our operating profit was down about 22%. The contribution from South Africa in this particular period was 74%. And you can see that its contribution is consistently between 60 and the 74% in this particular year. So we see these results as a resilient performance. I think you'll know these numbers because you read the headlines and you'll read all the emails, etc. But operating profit before tax and impairment losses was up 5%. So we actually were able to maintain our revenue in a very tough period. Attributable earnings was down 22% and adjusted EPS was down 26%, 25.5% actually, which we gave you a range of minus 22 to minus 30, and we were down in the middle by fluke. So I know that some of you take the average. Henry Hall always gets it on the button, this time again on the button. Our dividend is in line with our dividend policy, down 48%, but our cover range was 3.3. We said we'd move it to the upper end of the cover range of 3.5, which we told you in November, and the main reason for that is we want to internally generate enough capital to build our capital base, which I'll talk about in a moment. Again, tangible NAV was up 24%, which I think was quite a good achievement. And that shows that there weren't funny write-offs somewhere hidden on the balance sheet. So I think that Henry Hall, again, would be proud of because he likes to watch that number. Our deposit base is up 20% and our loan portfolio is up 26%. The impact of currency has had some impact on those numbers, which are highlighted in the report. And then funds under management, third-party funds under management, down 5% as a consequence of the very weak markets that we operated within. If we look at our financial targets, I think these are quite, two of them are very tough to achieve, and we will not probably achieve them for some time. That is the ROE target of 20%. In fact, with the new types of capital requirements that are coming out for banks, we will have to relook at that target, whether a 20% type target is a sustainable target. We're 14.8% for this particular period, and our earnings, obviously, you know, was down 25.5%, where we were looking to grow by retail price index plus 10, but that's over through a cycle, and that number would have been about perhaps 12% in this particular year. We did make a lot of progress on capital adequacy. I think our total capital adequacy is within our target range of 14 to 17. You remember we did up that in November when we gave you a trading update. I mean, when we gave you the results for November. Our cost to income ratio is actually down to 55.9%. We built revenue slightly and we held costs flat. I think that was quite a good achievement, and obviously our dividend cover is within the target range of 1.7 to 3.5 at 3.3. I think what's been important, and I think this is a season not to worry too much about earnings, but worry about balance sheet strength. And I think that's what has been important, and that's what we as an organization have concentrated excessively on over the last while. I think firstly, our stringent management of liquidity, and one thing we've always said as an organization, coming from being a very small bank, is that we always held a lot of surplus cash so we could cope with a stressed environment. As we said to you at the trading update, post Lehman's, the environment was particularly stressed, and our cash and near cash dropped to about £3.7 billion from over £5 billion. We're very happy that they've since retraced back to over £5 billion. As I said to you today, they're about £5.2 billion, and that's obviously from our very strong efforts in terms of diversifying our deposit base and being very proactive out there in terms of building that deposit base. So we also have a very well established liquidity philosophy. I think guidelines came out from Basel in September this year, and most of our philosophies fitted exactly within those guidelines. So I think we've always had a strong liquidity philosophy, and that has held us in pretty good stead right throughout this crisis. I think we talked about the increased deposits and access to longer-term funding. I think clearly we've taken in about £1 billion of retail deposits since December, and that's the momentum is still there, and we're still seeing strong progress on that front. And I think we think that momentum will continue, and as you're aware, that the big launch really started in the UK around about January, and we've seen very good inflows as a consequence of that. We've also seen good inflows in our structured retail desk in capital markets to sell structured products since the products were launched in around about January. And then in South Africa, we also had quite good inflows. In Australia, we got a hell of a lot of cash, so we're not driving. All we're doing is trying to diversify, get rid of the larger balances and diversify into smaller balances. And then South Africa, we just launched a new retail campaign this week, and we are seeing quite good progress on that front as well. As we said to you in November, we're eligible to issue 3-year government guaranteed debt in the UK, and we're also eligible in Australia, and we have issued that debt in Australia, 3 and 5 year. We have issued 3 and 5 year instruments in Australia in the last few months. I think on the capital targets, I think we increased our Tier 1 capital target to 11% in November, and we said we'd expect to get there by 2010. We did make good progress on all fronts. In South Africa, our Tier 1 ratio of Investec Limited is up to 10.8%, so I think we may get there probably by November, so we might get there in 2009. And Investec PLC's Tier 1 target got up from 9.3 to 10.1. I think that's also pretty good progress. Total capital ratios also improved slightly over the past year. So we're quite pleased again that we've managed to make very good progress towards meeting our targets, both Tier 1 and total capital targets, which we now meet. I think the other thing of importance, and we emphasize this with the trading update, is the fact that we are a low leverage bank. Our loans to capital ratio was 6.2, down from 6.6. I think Some of the banks that got into difficulty in the crisis were geared 40, 50, 60 times. And there's a big difference if you get 6 times and 40, 50, 60 times when you start having default loans. And I think that's really what the important is. Our defaults, as you've seen, are well covered by our operating earnings. So our operating earnings have significant ability to absorb default. And that's because we're a lowly geared organization and that we have a diversified revenue stream. Our core loans to customer deposits were one times covered, and that's part of our philosophy, is to cover our loans by customer deposits. And I think that, you know, we held from March 8 to March 9. And total balance sheet gearing 12.9 down from 13.8. We exclude the insurance assets in that number because they're not our assets. They're just notionally accounted for as our assets. We could also exclude gross-ups if we wanted to, but we didn't, which would take the number even lower. So if you exclude securitized assets, gearing is down to 11.7. I think obviously, as expected, and as we warned you, impairments have been on the rise, particularly since the end of, since early October. I think people, the world did fall off a cliff. You're seeing most major economies around the world showing significant negative growth. And I think South Africa likewise, its growth, negative growth for the quarter ended December was 1.8%, and we weren't expecting negative growth in South Africa. So you are seeing stress out there. And I think this will be order of the day for a while, as it takes time for economies to start turning around. Obviously, we started seeing some form of, people talk the word green shoots. Some people say it's green. The green shoots are becoming daffodils. Who knows? It looks better right now. It may look worse tomorrow. It's going to be very, very volatile. But the reality is that banks are having higher impairments and higher defaults. And we are no exception, although ours are perhaps lower than peer groups. We're still no exception. We are well collateralized. Our lending is to private clients, high net worth individuals. Some of them also get into trouble because they overtrade or do something wrong. And our lending also is to the corporate market, middle to upper end of the corporate market. And as we know in life, some of them get into trouble. So we will have defaults, but we believe we're well covered by collateral. Our default ratio is up to 1.1%, which is what we told you at the trading update. So this is part of life for the next while. But as I said earlier, we have significant operating profits that enable one to absorb the defaults. So I know your earnings are down at the end of the day, but this is a very tough period. So this is part of the reality of life right now. So that's giving you an overall picture of the balance sheet strength. I'm now going to move on into the divisions. And I will start off just giving you a brief overview of the divisional performance. You can see, as I said to you earlier, it was a tough space for some of our areas and not too bad a space for others. But overall, you can see the divisional mix has changed quite significantly in this period, with capital markets up quite well because they benefited from the volatility of the environment. They traded very well. But I'm not going to take away Dave's story. He'll give you an update. And all the divisional guys will give you an update on how they have fared. So some of the divisions were obviously more affected by impairments, like the private bank was affected by impairments. And Steve Hobron will give you a story on that. So if I look at, I will just kick off with the private client portfolio management business. And it was down 12%. Which is not too bad a performance in the context of the markets that we were in. I think it's down as a consequence of lower turnover and also lower valuations or lower level of market valuation and absence of any kinds of performance fees on the portfolios that they manage in this particular environment. The UK results are the estimate of Rensburg Shepherd's results, so but I don't think we'd be too far out on that. But we're not allowed to talk about that because they announced results in June. So funds under management are down 11% in sterling, and down the Rand funds under management down 25%, because it is by and large an equity portfolio, and equities were down a lot more than that. Cost to income ratio up to 64%, which is still within our own target range, and ROE very high because it is a low capital intensity business. So that's an overall position on the private client business. I'm now going to call on, before I call on Steve Hobron, I was jumping the gun a little bit. I think the outlook is, the environment as we are aware is challenging, and that you will get low levels of activity over the next while. until people start coming back into the market. And but we believe that the business model is very resilient, and we have a diverse mix and strong annuity income from the discretionary funds under management. So we believe we have very good positioning in this market, and this business can weather storms quite well. So that's an update on the private client business. I'm now going to call Steve Halbron to talk about the private bank. Steve Halbron will talk from London. And Steve, you're up. And I'll just click the screen for you, and then you can take over from there. Okay.
Take over from there. Okay.
Good morning. The private bank is pleased to report an operating profit of £80.5 million for the year ended March 2009. This is 52% of last year's peak profit level of £166.4 million. The last 18 months have been characterized by challenging and severe market conditions. The impact of this on our business has been felt. Specifically, activity levels across all areas of specialization have been dampened, impairments on loans and advances are up, and exit opportunities and profit shares have waned. The key impact of this on our earnings has been to lift the impairment charge on loans and advances to £90 million for the year, being £56 million up on the prior year. This variance accounts for the main difference in operating profit for the private bank for the year ended 08 over 09. To balance this, on the positive side, 4 points. Firstly, the business has benefited from a well-diversified set of revenues across all six areas of specialization. This is in line with our portfolio strategy as previously presented. Secondly, total operating income pre-impairments is down a modest 9%. Thirdly, our business has remained profitable in all three core geographies. And fourthly, a concerted effort to rein in costs has resulted in some meaningful savings. Moving away from earnings then, if I can draw your attention to the balance sheet. Loans and advances, deposits and assets under management. Firstly, loans and advances. In our UK and European jurisdictions, ignoring currency gains, we had negligible growth in assets. This is reflective of market conditions in the UK, where wholesale deleveraging has resulted in a significant reduction in credit extension. In South Africa, our loan portfolio grew by 14% in home currency. This is a substantial reduction or deceleration in relation to last year's 32% growth in assets. South Africa, therefore, experienced moderate growth with a tightening of conditions affecting the local economy. In Australia, we grew our assets of a relatively small base by 14% in home currency. This growth was specific to Investec Experian, the professional lending business that we acquired in October 2007. Difficult market conditions have impacted our credit portfolio in all jurisdictions. It should be remembered, though, that we have a relatively small portfolio and are therefore close to and engaged with all exposures. Impairments have been raised to cover our best estimate of expected losses given current conditions. The balance sheet provision is £90 million, being 80 basis points across the portfolio. If I can now draw your attention to retail deposits. These were up 17% for the year, and I think special mention should be made of our UK jurisdiction, where customer deposits grew year on year despite unprecedented turmoil in the financial sector. In fact, if we were to annualise our current growth rate, this would give us an excess of a 30% increase as we move into 2010. An example of this, capitalising on this opportunity, our UK business has delivered some circa 8,000 new clients just in the last quarter. All three jurisdictions therefore have performed well, with notable increases in deposits. This in a year in which we have arguably faced a 1-in-100-year event could be seen as a testament to the Investec brand. Lastly, shifting your attention to assets under management, these are down between 15 and 28% in home currency. All three jurisdictions experienced a client move to cash as well as a reduction in market value. In closing then, the business will deliver on five key objectives in the year ahead. Number one, intensive focus will be placed on the effective management of underperforming loans. Two, the growth in our loan portfolios will be flat, and we will persist in repricing our existing assets to reflect the increased cost of capital and credit risk. Three, in pursuing our retail deposits, we will broaden our reach in target market, channel, and product. Four, the drive to accelerate the contribution of our private wealth management business will be supported by further investment. And lastly, we will be ruthless in our alignment of costs to future revenues. In summary then, We will continue to navigate our way through this difficult time. We will not and have not shied away from making tough, sober decisions that may be needed as we continually re-examine our business in the context of this turbulent environment. Finally, we believe that our business model is weathering the storm. It is robust and it is intact. We are poised to take advantage of the opportunities that this dislocation in markets may present. I now hand over to Dave Hunnigal from Capital Markets.
Thanks, Steve. Good morning, everybody. Last year, we spoke of an operating environment where credit spreads had widened, favoring our lending businesses. Volatility had increased substantially, favoring our trading businesses, and the dislocated credit markets presented opportunities. This was overlaid by economic conditions that presented risk to the downside for our business. These observations have, to a large extent, proved true through the year, but we are very pleased to announce a 22.4% increase in operating profit from £115.6 million to £141.6 million. This in very difficult conditions. This performance was driven by four main factors. An increase in interest income by 26% after accounting for Kensington for the full year, and an increase in average credit spreads across our books and a growth of our lending books in South Africa. Fees and commissions grew by 33% as a result of our structured lending activities and also due to very favourable conditions for our equity finance business, which performed very well. Profit from principal transactions grew by 43% during the year, primarily from lower write-downs in our US structured credit portfolio, which decreased from £49 million last year to £13 million this year. In addition to this, we had excellent performances from our trading desks, particularly in fixed income, FX and interest rates. In addition, in the UK, we had our first full year of operations of our equity derivatives platform, and this traded profitably. This performance was to some extent offset by a large increase in impairments, which increased by £76 million during the year. This increase was represented by extremely challenging conditions in our commodities and resource finance business and our acquisition finance business. In addition, we accounted for the effect of Kensington for the full year. £17 million of this impairment charge related to a change in our house price depreciation assumptions, and Kensington is now provided for a 40% decline in house prices from peak to trough. The market has changed substantially. However, we remain committed to our core areas of activity and will reshape and adjust our business for changes in the market and lessons that we have learned. Looking at the environment in our core geographies, South Africa remains the least affected, although the impact of the global recession is starting to be felt. We are generally well positioned in this market with a reasonably robust credit portfolio, and trading conditions and volumes remain good. The effects of the recession may lead to reduced activity in our structured lending businesses, and we'll need to monitor markets to see how this develops. In the UK and Australia, the environment remains weak, and it's too early to say whether the green shoots represent any sustained change. We expect impairments to continue, however, trading conditions and dislocated markets continue to present opportunities for us. Overall, we believe that we are well positioned to continue to weather the storm in conditions that may be similar to last year. Finally, we are a focused business targeting markets where we can be distinctive and competitive. The environment has changed, but so too has the competitive landscape. A large amount of capacity has been withdrawn from the market, and we've seen a large number of players withdraw from our core geographies. In the short term, we expect conditions to remain challenging. However, in the medium term, we believe that the change in the competitive landscape presents an excellent opportunity for us to grow our franchise and our market share in these markets. Thanks very much. I'll hand over to Andy Lee from South Africa.
Thanks, Dave, and good morning, everybody. Just to put the investment banking performance into context, I'd just like to mention over the last 2 years, we've implemented a number of strategic initiatives to improve the quality of our clients, our investment portfolios, and our people. These earnings that you see this year, £46 million, have been achieved as a result of a mixed performance across geographies and business activity. In reviewing the numbers, it's important to recognize, firstly, the decline in equity markets, which resulted in lower activity levels and downward fair value adjustments in certain principal investment portfolios, and secondly, the respective positioning and performance of the diversified portfolio of investment banking businesses across the geographies. I'll be talking about the South African and Australian businesses, and Brad will cover the integrated securities business and the UK. If we turn to South Africa, investment banking in South Africa posted improved results over last year of £66 million, supported by a stable deal pipeline and an increase in the underlying value of the portfolio of investments held. If we turn to the specific areas, corporate finance had a lower performance than the prior year, mainly as a result of the market volatility and fewer larger transactions. However, we maintained our market positioning in the year, being ranked first in all the major surveys for transaction volume in M&A and sponsor activity. The changing competitive landscape, which is, I think, is a theme you'll hear throughout these presentations, has resulted in good new client gains, which should generate a better spread of income going forward. If I turn to our principal investment activity, our strategy of quality versus quantity has continued to deliver good results. This year we generated a higher level of core sustainable earnings, up 12% to £55 million from our balanced portfolio, which is consistent with the strategy previously communicated to you. This year, more than 50% of the total income in this activity is represented by dividends received and realized gains. This performance has been achieved off the back of a very strong performance from the quality underlying investment portfolios that we hold. And during the year, we continue to make investments in the portfolio and build value in our portfolio independently of realizations and stock market conditions. If I turn to Australia, investment banking reported a loss of £7 million, which was negatively impacted by a slowdown in activity levels and downward fair value adjustments as equity markets continued to decline. With growing brand awareness and a better pipeline going into 2010, the Australian platform continues to provide growth opportunities into the future. At this stage, I hand over to Brad.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Firstly, I'd like to address our international securities business. In the UK, our security-related operating profit increased with disciplined performance across sales, market making, and equity trading in the face of extremely volatile markets. The positive market share momentum that we observed some years ago continues. Our South African institutional securities business posted a decline in profit off a strong prior year as very tough market conditions impacted on revenues from equity broking. The decline in revenues was, however, somewhat offset by a strong financial performance and good market share gains in our prime broking operation in South Africa, which business we continue to invest in significantly. Taking advantage of these quite difficult market conditions, however, we did take the opportunity to selectively hire some good experienced analysts, filling gaps in our offering and ensuring that we consolidate our position as South Africa's specialist broker of choice. We also made progress in expanding the client base for the South African product, doing that in the UK, in Europe, and in the United States. And finally, we recorded another record year of growth for client-directed trade into our electronic distribution platforms. The initiatives to diversify revenues in our securities business that began approximately 4 years ago have had an impact very positively in this year. In the UK, during a very difficult year, our securities business and our corporate advisory business enjoyed a year of profit. The data suggests that Investec is increasingly becoming the destination of choice for FTSE 250 companies looking for consistency of approach, stability, and service. Over the last 12 months, we engaged 14 new FTSE 250 brokerships, a greater number than any other broker, and in fact nearly three times the number of the second placed house. Recently, we welcomed into our business the mid-cap team of Dresdner Kleinwort, whom we believe will accelerate our ambition to be the premier mid-cap corporate advisory and broking business in the UK. Our private equity result in the UK and Australia was disappointing, and it requires explanation. Two investments, namely Global Ethanol and Idatec, were the primary drivers of the result, and we'd like to comment on the accounting treatment of the portfolio, as well as the market and carrying value of the investments. Firstly, then, the accounting treatment. Our investments are not held in off-balance sheet funds. Rather, they are majority-owned on-balance sheet investments. They qualify, therefore, as subsidiaries of our group. As a result, we consolidate their performance, and given the developmental nature of the Idatec business, and for the case of Global Ethanol, the market conditions in the ethanol industry, this led us to consolidating losses for the year under review. These losses account for the majority of the private equity result for the year. It is important, however, to realize that for these and for all other consolidated investments, they are marked in our books at tangible net asset value, Idatec being the case in point. The market price of our stock in the London-listed Idatec is approximately double our carrying value as at balance sheet date. Andy and I have touched on the drivers that have impacted our business. Our teams across the geographies remain stable and disciplined. Our offering has expanded and our clients have grown in size and quality. We have also explained that the outlook is going to be predominantly driven by equity markets. Good equity markets are going to allow our clients to raise funds through IPOs, through secondary offerings, and to develop their corporations with much more confidence in the public market. They'll also provide increased certainty for our private equity portfolios in terms of exits and investments. We hand over now, in wrapping up, to Hendrik du Toit, who will address the asset management business.
Thank you, Brad. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Despite announcing a fall in earnings today, I'd like to echo the words of Jamie Dimon of JP Morgan that last year was probably the finest year of the asset management business since inception. I'd like to thank all the people who worked so hard on it, on this result, and who retained focus on their clients' money during what was a year, hopefully not to be repeated too quickly, in other words, a very tough year. I'd like you to remember four key points this morning. Firstly, our net flow performance has been the best in 9 years at £750 million. Secondly, our risk management and our conservative business strategy served this business well during the past year and has left us in a position to compete very effectively over the next few years while much of our industry is in turmoil. Thirdly, we have one of the most experienced and stable teams in the industry in place. We can focus on what's important, our clients' money and business acquisition, rather than internal matters in the years to come. And fourthly, we're entering this year in good spirit and with a good pipeline of business. Over the past year, our earnings declined by 13%, but our compound growth rate over the last 5 years is still 22%. And this year, with lower assets, will be challenging, but looking ahead over a five-year period, we remain confident. Our pre-tax profit at £62 million was obviously down, but our assets remained relatively stable and ended the year at £28.8 billion, and as you can work out, are significantly higher right now given the market's run. These results once again confirm that we have a business model which is stable and sensible and which we'll continue to work with in future. Cost control also remains a priority, and during the past year we were very well served by our variable remuneration model and the cost disciplines we put in ahead of the worst falls in the market. The longer term performance numbers of our business remain excellent. 90% of our institutional performances exceed their benchmark since inception or GIPS inception. And while I won't mention all the awards because there are too many awards in this industry, I'm very proud to tell you that in South Africa, Morningstar named us as the best large mutual fund group over 5 years for the 9th year running. And that maybe tells the story of Investec Asset Management. Performance fees were important last year, and our portfolio managers came through when we needed the performance. We added 12% of our revenues were represented by performance fees last year, which just again evidences the fact that we have been beating our benchmarks consistently and solidly. In South Africa, our business achieved a profit of 49 million rand, 49 million pound, I apologize. The retail business performed well under circumstances and delivered net inflows. Institutionally, we are still on the net outflow side, but we've added significant high-quality business, and in fact, we continue to see positive momentum in that business. In the UK and the international business, our earnings declined by 31% to 17 million pounds from 24.9, but our net flows were very strong, over £1 billion, or approximately £1 billion, and our institutional flows were even higher because, as you know, the mutual fund markets internationally were in turmoil last year. As a business, ladies and gentlemen, we stood the test of time and we've shown resilience when it really mattered. We run our business as a global unit, which means we have the freedom to use our full force where the biggest opportunity exists at any point in time or where the biggest need may exist. That model works well, and therefore we think we can capture the momentum or the green shoots wherever they're going to emerge. In conclusion, we're in the business of not reporting annual earnings or reporting on that. We're in the business of building an enduring investment management franchise. We have an environment at Investec Asset Management where the best investment managers in the industry feel at home and are given the freedom to deliver for their clients. We're totally focused on managing clients' money to the highest possible standards. And whatever the environment is out there, that will not change or influence the way we focus on our clients' money. And over the past 18 years, we've built a business from scratch to be one of the top 100 in the world, and in terms of size, and you know, these businesses do take time, but as they mature, and you'll be seeing it over the next few years, they deliver very, very significant cash flows. So we can go into the new year firmly on the front foot, and we're going to be bold, because this is a time to be bold. And we have a model where our current distribution capability is aligned with opportunity, and our current investment capability is aligned with client demand. So thank you very much for the opportunity to talk to you today. Our business is stronger and better than ever before. I think I must hand over to Stephen now.
Right, thanks, Hendrik. Switch over. I'm going to talk briefly about the property group, and I think you remember last year we sold our Growthpoint business, the business that basically managed all Growthpoint properties. So what we have left in property is a trading business, a property fund management business that manages portfolios for clients into listed property funds, and a business that manages physical property funds on behalf of clients. I think the business did pretty well this year, even though it was down 32%, because you remember part of the business was sold. And it was down 32%, generating 24.7 million pounds. And you can see it's got a cost-to-income ratio of 35% and an ROE of 47.5%. And that is obviously a consequence of the sale of the business, that the ROE has dropped. And it was supported by fees earned on projects on behalf of clients completed during the year, and a decent performance from the property investment portfolio, which is primarily a South African portfolio that is still performing quite well. As you see, South African property funds haven't been hammered like property funds around the world, because they are much slowly less geared, and therefore you have a much more stable outlook. I think the outlook for this business is extremely positive. There is a lot of opportunity out there, although people think the asset class has a problem. There is so much opportunity, it is actually frightening, and I think that we as an organization have a lot of funds to invest for our clients, because we have a 450 million euro fund that has not been invested yet, or hardly invested, that is available to invest, and they can pick out the opportunities in that market. We have a similar sort of fund in Australia, a lot smaller, that is partially invested but still has some to go, and then we have our own capability in this particular market where we think we can take advantage of some of the opportunities. So we would see the outlook for this business as actually quite positive, because there's been so much turmoil around the business in this particular year and in this particular period. So we also look to some reasonable performance going forward. I think if we look at group services and other activities, our central funding performed well. That was again off the back of our increase in cash holdings and higher interest rates in South Africa. Obviously we experienced lower interest rates in the rest of the world, but we did have higher interest rates in South Africa. We also, our central costs were down 10%, and I think that's again, as everyone has said, we have been managing our cost base quite effectively in the organization without doing too many dramatic things, and that's an ongoing theme for our organization. So overall, contribution from our trade finance business was, earnings were flat. It was slightly up in Rand because it's mainly a Rand business, but down slightly in sterling, and that could also have been because of impairments in that particular business, but they were not too dramatic. So overall, group serves and other activities contributed £31.8 million against £14 million last year. I think if we look at some of the other things, our effective tax rate was down to 21%. We did give you guidance of a higher number, but we had deferred tax that was no longer required, which would have affected that tax rate. And I would say the sustainable tax rate is a bit higher than that, probably 23-24%, but that's the tax rate for this year. Weighted number shares in issue 634, that's exactly the number we gave you. We did say that there would be some goodwill impairment in some of the private equity assets that that we consolidate, and there was about £27 million of goodwill write-off in that space, of which approximately £9 million related to minorities. So the rest of the goodwill write-off is really the running off of the old Fetcher portfolios as they run off, so you have a bit of an impairment of goodwill. So overall, the adjustment to minorities was £5.4 million, and that was really the taking out the losses attributable to minorities in the private equity business of £31 million of those consolidated assets that Brad spoke about. And then we also have this translation of preferred securities, which is the impact of the euro and sterling position. That's really a hedge transaction, but we get income above the line if sterling falls against the euro, and then it gets taken out on the minority line. It's just an accounting phenomena. It doesn't affect the bottom line at all. I think if we move on to strategy and outlook, and I think what's important for us is we don't see that there's too much need for us to change what we are as an organization. I think that our business model has held up pretty well in this environment. We see ourselves remaining a niche and focused specialist banking group and striving to be distinctive. I think what we are concentrating on is that we've moderated our loan growth, and we have shifted emphasis to increasing the proportion of our non-lending revenue base. That will be a theme for the next while. We concentrated very specifically on maintaining credit quality. I think we saw the crisis coming at least 2 years ago, and we tightened up quite substantially 2 years ago. But it's still an area that needs a lot of focus and a lot of attention. Our management of risk will continue to be something that is very vigilant, as well as liquidity. I think we've done pretty well in this environment coming through the kind of storm that we've come through and maintained our liquidity intact, and that we creating additional operating efficiencies and containing costs. And then again, the constant building of business depth as opposed to breadth. We get asked, why aren't we going to different geographies? And our key reason for that is we want to focus where we are. There's lots of opportunity where we are. You don't have to create additional infrastructure that's expensive and it takes your eye off the ball. And we think we can do a lot by focusing where we are as an organization. The other thing that we have consistently done and we haven't backed off on is positively building our brand. And we've seen the positive impact of the building of our brand around the world on the sense, the feeling about Investec out in the marketplace. And you've seen our ability to access that retail customer base because we have a brand that is developed and still developing and known. And we have not stopped on this front, and we'll continue to push our brand wherever we can. And I think that's something many organizations, they get into tough times, they start cutting their marketing budgets, and they start lowering their profile out in the marketplace. But we have seen that this is an opportunity for us to push the strategy more and more so that we're visible, that we're in the face of our clients, and that our clients know about us. And this is something that we're not backing off on. And we have seen a very positive response to the continuation of building this brand. I think maintaining efficiency, if you look at our jaws ratio, you can see that the crocodile's mouth is still wide open, because we've shown that compared to the last time we went into a difficult time, which was 2002-2003, we went into that season with a 70% or 72% cost to income ratio. We went into this crisis with 56.9 and or 56.2, I don't remember the exact number, and it's now 55.9. So we still improved our operating efficiency in this particular period. We've seen expense growth flat, and we're targeting probably flat to down expense growth. And we've also taken a portion of our deferred compensation, variable remuneration. We've deferred a portion of it into a non-cash element in this particular period so that we comply with the new FSA guidelines around the world. And when they launched those guidelines, we complied with 10 out of 12 by adding this deferred piece and the non-cash component into it. We comply with all 12 out of 12. I think we're also an organization that has continually adapted its business model to suit the environment. If you look at this, I mean, clearly I've given you a speech already. It's about moderating loan growth. It's about pricing risk appropriately and building customer deposits, building non-lending revenue and taking advantage of opportunities. And right now, our non-lending revenue is £550 million. Our lending revenue and revenue from principal transactions was £940 million. If you net off impairments, because that's the risk side of the business, it was £684 million. Now, obviously, we'd want to see that gap close over time, and that's part of our strategies to try and close that gap between the two without reducing the top line. So, coming to outlook, I think you've heard everybody around the world say the outlook remains uncertain. I think it does remain uncertain. I think markets are likely to remain very choppy and very volatile. There's good news and bad news, and at least we've got some good news and some, you know, with still some bad news, because if you went back 3 months, all we had was bad news, the world falling off a cliff, and no one going to survive. Well, lots of people have survived, and I think that the system, financial system is now, I would regard the financial system as now stable. I think there have been positive signals, and I think that hopefully we'll start seeing more positive signals as we move along. But the important thing is that the authorities, through all their measures, have managed to stabilize the financial systems, and I think that was not the case if we sat here 3 months ago. I think for us, we'll still continue to navigate a steady course. I think as many of my colleagues have said, the competitive landscape has changed, and our brand does continue to gain recognition. We are independent and have a distinctive franchise. We have strengthened our capital position in this period, and we'll continue to safeguard our liquidity, as you've seen what we've done over the last while. We do believe very strongly that the market upheaval will present lots of opportunities, not that we'll be able to take advantage of all of them, but they will enable us to improve our positioning in our core geographies and enable us to move on to the front foot, because I think that's what it's about now. I think one has navigated a hell of a storm, one is moving to the other side, and it's now how you get your organization back onto the front foot. And that's what we are striving to achieve. So for us as an organization, as I said to you earlier, we're quite proud of what we've achieved in this particular year. It has been a very tough year. Our people have held up exceptionally well, and it's a credit to all of their resilience that we've come through with our brand intact, our business model intact, and ready for an upturn as and when it comes. Thank you very much. Okay, we're now going to do questions. So I'll start off in Johannesburg. Yeah, Ruby, you're back. Bernard was looking for you earlier, but he couldn't find you. Yeah, he is, Benji. Give Ruby his... Okay. Here comes a bouncer. You know, bow me a doosa. Huh? Where? Okay. Willem, you're nearby now, so you can drive without worrying. You can even walk.
Indeed. Stephen, two questions. The first one is, the rest of 2009, will that be a period of internal focus, or are you looking to perhaps add teams or even businesses? And the second question is, on the UK private equity investments, the nature of the issues there or the problems, are they structural or are they more cyclical, i.e. Those investments and their earnings will recover over time as cyclical conditions change, or are there some more fundamental problems there?
Now, I'll answer the second question first, then I'll come to the first question. I think the one business is a developing business, so it's still in a build-up phase, and therefore it makes operating losses, and that will be around for a while, but will start moving into a profitable situation. As Brad says, the market price is double our carrying value. The other business is in a cyclical squeeze, and it's a commodity business, and therefore it's in a cyclical squeeze, and given time, we think that the margins will open up and it will become profitable again. But it is in a cyclical squeeze. I think to come back to your first question, very clearly, we are not only inward focused. I think that you saw we recently hired a team of mid-market specialists from Dresdner. In fact, we took their mid-cap team over, and we will continue to do that as we see the opportunities arise. So we are not only internally focused, we are able to start moving onto the front foot. We're feeling more comfortable that the systems are now stable and that we can start, you know, moving onto the front foot, but we'll still remain very cautious.
Thank you.
Nana, Louis, you next, after Ruben.
Thank you, Mr. Kossoff. I have two questions, please. The first one deals with the cost-to-income ratio in investment banking, which has gone up by 18.5% from 53.9 to 63.9. There is a note to this which states that the number has been adjusted for consolidated investments.
Yeah,
why
costs?
Why would that adjustment, if at all, affect the cost increase to that extent?
Now, the cost increase is from less revenue.
Nothing to do with an adjustment?
Nothing to do with an adjustment.
Okay. Second question relates to capital adequacy. It states that the targets have been revised to 14-17%.
Yes.
However, if we go to the slide number 9, there is a footnote to that which says the targets were disclosed in May 2004.
Originally.
Yes. And are medium to long term. Now, those targets per the slide were then 14-17%.
No, they weren't.
Read the footnote.
Finger trouble.
Okay. However, you are virtually at the targets, whether they were set in 2004 or in 2008.
We had varying targets. 13 to 16 were set in 2004. We adapted them when Basel 2 came in.
Okay.
To 12 to 15.
All right.
And then when the crisis hit, we moved them to 14 to 17.
Okay, I'll follow that. Okay. Now, since you're virtually there and you haven't got much further to go to get to the targets, are you going to achieve this next year as well? And I hope I'm speaking for Louis now, by reducing next year's dividend as well?
We told you that we're going to concentrate on achieving our targets and building our capital base.
Oh.
And when we're happy that the world is stable, sorry, my voice is. When we're happy that the world is stable, which we think it is moving towards stability, we can get more aggressive on some things. But in the meantime, we're not aggressive at all. We're going to build that capital base. And what you left out there, Ruby, is we moved that tier 1 target to 11. And
correct.
10.1 in the UK and 10.8 in South Africa. So we've still got a bit of a way to go, but not that far.
The question, however, relates to the notes, to the sentence, we aim to achieve them, that's the targets, through varying market conditions. Could you explain that, please? Varying market conditions.
Well, we are in very difficult market conditions, so we will sustain them. Once we get to our targets, we'll make sure that our dividend policy enables us to stay within our targets through varying market conditions.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Kossoff?
Can I bring you next time to actually proofread for us before we come here? Louis, it's Louis here. Louis.
Mr. Kossoff, my grandchildren have made peace with the fact that they've got to wear their shoes much longer now.
All of us.
Yeah. But we all know, you generated the most of your profit from the operating profit from the capital markets. Now, we all know that it's one of the remaining bubbles that's going to burst sometime going forward. And the capital market is much, much bigger than the equity market. And so sometime in the future, we know that equities has outperformed all asset classes over the long term. People are going to start moving back. They're going to take on risk. And we're going to have a huge explosion in this bubble. How is that going to affect Investec? Thank you.
Well, you're saying, Louis, that we didn't see a bubble burst in credit markets in the last couple of years. When we talk capital markets, we're not talking about government stock, which is where you're thinking about the bubble. When government stock, you already see government stock lost 22% in the last few months. We're talking about credit markets and everything aligned to credit markets, not government stock. So we already saw a hell of a lot of turmoil in that particular space in the last year with credit spreads blowing out and people can't borrow money and all those kinds of things. So I think you're on the wrong bus. But when equity markets do return, we'll do a lot better in our investment bank. So that's why we got this diversified portfolio, and in asset management, and in our securities businesses. So that's what we always said, we've got a diversified model. If one thing goes down, hopefully something else is going up.
Now my mind is at ease now, thank you very much.
Thank you, Louis. Can we buy you some shoes?
A question here, Stephen.
Where?
To your left.
Kaya.
In general, you're talking about moderating loan growth.
Yes.
Could you give us an indication how much of that is a result of expectation of higher future impairments and how much of it is not having enough equity to back higher levels of credit extension?
I think the answer is neither of them. I think it's just an environment where the economies are tougher, credit criteria have tightened, and we're going to moderate loan growth. And I think you've been in a, you know, I don't think it's got water, it's some other frog. Thanks. Have you ever, you've been in a credit crunch. You know where the word comes from, credit crunch. So that means credit conditions have tightened and we have to act accordingly. It's got nothing to do with future impairments, it's got nothing to do with capital. As you've seen, we built up capital exceptionally well. We have to be rational and behave appropriately in a tough environment. And that means we can't be stupid and just go and dish out cash to people who may not be able to pay you back. Next question.
Stephen, just a couple of things. At the pre-close briefing, you felt that probably a flat bad debt charge this coming year looked reasonable. Just wanted to know whether you've changed your thinking on that at all. And then I just wanted to ask you a couple of things on central funding. With interest rates coming off as much as they have, does that create quite a big headwind for you, or should we be looking further out in the curve? And looked like there was quite a big movement of your NAV to Australia out of the UK. I haven't seen the latest numbers yet, but it certainly appeared that way at the interim stage. I just wanted to know what was behind that.
Sorry, Michael, they disturbed me when you were asking.
It was three things. The bad debts charge, where do you see that going?
Well, it depends on the outlook. I mean,
how do you feel now?
One's feeling okay now because there are a few green shoots. If the green shoots become daffodils, it'll be lower. If they fall over and die, it'll become higher. But it does feel okay at the moment. I think life feels like it's sort of stabilizing and you're moving on. But I think it'll still be quite tough. But we're not seeing anything new jump out.
And then just the impact of declining interest rates on your return on central funding, and then finally the apparent move of tangible NAV to Australia. It was more at the interim stage I picked that up. I don't know what it looks like now.
Of tangible NAV, I think it's currency.
Okay.
The tangible NAV to Australia, if there was any move to that, would be currency. But what was your middle question? I'm being hell of a doff today.
interest rates declining and the impact.
No, it will have some impact. You know, banks well, and what happens is if you have lower interest rates, you have lower endowment effect, so there will be some impact on all your free funding. And it's just a question of, where the average interest rate is. I mean, obviously in UK you're getting naught on your free funding, because rates are very low. Australia only getting 3% on your free funding, you're getting 7.25%, so there will be some impact on that next year. There's a question over there.
Hi, Stephen. Just a quick question here. The assets under management, the money received from the PIC, is that included?
No, it's not there yet. That came in April, I think.
Okay.
Thanks. Am I right, Hendrik? Come on, hear me. Have they got no audio in London? Okay.
You're right, Stephen. Can you hear us now? You're right. The money is not in the last year's number.
More questions in South Africa? Ruby, you finished analyzing the book. There were a couple of South Africans that I explained to their British colleagues, okay? Ronnie. Yeah.
Steve, could you give us your feeling going forward in terms of the UK property market? You're probably feeling you're approaching that 40% which you made provision for Kensington, first of all. Do you see some green shoots appearing there sometime in the future? The other question I wanted to ask, in terms of your retail market products, could you give us, put a bit of colour on that as to where your target markets are, how your product is differentiated from the big commercial banks?
In what country?
Yeah, you're having this launch which you've successfully done in Australia and the UK, launching this new type of product here.
Yeah, the product here is like a link to, it's called a top five, link to the money fund, link to the top five money fund rate. So it's, it's a competitive product with minimum of 100,000 rand. In the UK, I think it's minimum of 25,000 pounds.
Is that principally a money market type of fund?
Yeah. But it's term, it's not short, it's longer. But the rate is linked to the performance of money funds.
To see the property outlook.
Yeah, and you're getting mixed reports. You're getting one report that says it's you're starting to see a shortage of supply. I'm talking about residential, and that sales have been quite buoyant of late, and that people are starting to hold back. And then you're getting other reports that say prices are still declining. So you are moving towards the turn because prices have come down a long way, and interest rates are very low. So property is much more affordable than it was if you have a job. And, I suppose still 92% or 93% of people still have jobs. So it is moving towards a bottoming out process. But I don't know if it's there yet. I mean, that's too early to call.
Thank you.
Okay. Any one more question, then I'm going to London. Hendrik, they want to know how much money you got from the PRC. Are you allowed to disclose?
We don't disclose individual client amounts seeded, but I can tell you what, it's not it's not going to make a difference in terms of the big budget numbers for the year. It was a significant amount, but we don't disclose those numbers. We must get permission from the client before we can disclose that.
Are you allowed to disclose what mandate you got, Hendrik?
I don't think so. Yes, we can. I don't know. John, you're in the room. John Green is in the room here, heads our distribution. John, can we has the client given us permission?
I'm not sure, Hendrik. I don't think so.
One thing with a big institutional client, guys, if you don't have your ducks in a row and you start talking about your relationship in public, you're as good as fired. So I'd rather keep this new client, very happy because it's one of the world's 30 largest funds. But effectively, it was an equity-oriented mandate, and it was a reasonable mandate. But you know, it's not as if that's going to change the outlook for our business for the coming years. Thanks, Stephen. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. Thanks.
I really don't want
okay,
to sit blind in public.
If you any more questions, then I'm moving to questions in London. More questions? No, okay, we're going to London.
Good morning. Two, if I may. Firstly, could you comment what, if any, impact falling collateral values have had in the UK on your impairment experience there? And what outlook you have for the impairment experience given if collateral values continue to remain weak? And secondly, on margins, I take the point about your free funds will obviously compress margins, but how much scope do you think there is within the rest of the portfolio to see expansion of the margin on the asset side of the balance sheet?
Well, very clearly, you also got the impact of cost of funds that have gone up in some jurisdictions, and there is a lot of ability to expand margins on new originated loans as well as loans that come for that come to a rollover type date. So there is a lot of room to expand margins. I think on firstly we lend to a person and it's backed by collateral, so the collateral is always secondary. And it's only when the individual defaults that you have to actually start worrying about the value or the impact of the value of the collateral. So in those circumstances, we have factored in declining expectations on what we can sell things at. You saw what we said about Dave said about Kensington in terms of because there you have portfolio impairments, not line by line impairments. We project house price fall peak to trough of 40%. Which I think is quite significant, and it may or may not reach the 40% peak to trough. So we obviously take into consideration the value of collateral and what we think we can realize the collateral for, and when we're going to realize the collateral and factor that into determining impairments. In fact, our impairment process is quite extensive. So I think that is all taken very much into consideration. I think on the margin side, I think I've answered you. Okay, more questions in London? Is that it? Okay.
Yep, that's it.
Okay, is that it?
No more questions from London.
Okay, thank you. Okay, then I've got to make a statement here about on Summit. Unfortunately, the audio... There was a problem with the audio, which was only fixed in the last 5 minutes, so that there will be an MP3 playback on our website later this morning for those people and those people who are listening now who did not get the wording on the presentation but just saw the slides and saw the people who watched on Summit. Okay, I think that's it. Thank you very much for attending, and I think there will be some drinks and snacks in both London and South Africa, so... for those of you who wish to stay and have a drink or snack, I don't think hard drinks, but something to drink. Thank you very much.